In today's episode, my wounds are salted, Mike figures out Meta Knight, and Samantha hails the Vor King. This is Kirby's Dream Land and Kirby's Adventure. Okay,
oh my god, I'm so pumped to talk about Kirby.
Alright, let's do it.
Corby.
That's when you guys
and
kick
welcome.
In.
I was going to say, welcome to Funsphere Game Club.
You draw a circle.
You dot its eyes, you give it a big smile, and
then you get Josh.
You have, there you go. Nice. And I'm Josh, and
I'm
not Kirby. And here we go.
I'm Meta Knight. Yep.
At least he talked about something in the game for once.
Which I never got before, but. Spoiler alert, before we get there, were they trying to imply that Meta Knight is evil Kirby?
Yeah, like from the beginning.
Ah!
That's no spoiler alert
never,
at all. That's
no,
just facts.
It's never been shown again. I've never seen it shown.
It shouldn't be too surprising that there would be an evil version of him when he is often angry Kirby. He's got a darkness.
So, today we're giving you guys a special.
A double dose.
A double dose of Kirby, because we're talking about both Kirby's Dream Land for the Game Boy.
The original.
And, that's correct, and Kirby's Adventure on the Nintendo Entertainment
System. The much souped up, not too long after the original.
Correct. 1 year after. All right, so I'm going to give us a kind of a quick rundown of the two games. Like I said, Mike mentioned, they're pretty close together, so they're pretty closely related. Kirby's Dream Land is the first game in the Kirby franchise. It was released on the Game Boy in 1992. Kirby's Adventure is the second game in the Kirby franchise and released in North America in May of 1993 on the NES. So that means it was almost released 2 years after the Super Nintendo was released?
Yeah. Well, my idea, I don't know if this is true or not, but like in the past, my idea was that they quickly realized this is way too good of a game to just be on the handheld. So they rushed to make it available on some kind of home console.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and pick up that point. Actually, Mike, that is exactly what they
thought. Yeah!
So, this game was developed by HAL Laboratory, who apparently gets the name HAL from being one step ahead of IBM. Each letter is the letter in front of IBM. Now, I would have thought it was a Space 2001 reference, but...
I kind of like that even more.
Oh, I thought you were saying how. I was like, that doesn't make any sense at all.
No.
You said how. Okay.
I didn't put the four L's in it like you did, but...
I was so confused.
Okay,
it's pretty arrogant once you think of their true output.
Yes.
Yeah, your audio cut out bad.
Oh,
there,
sorry.
Man, so.
Well, I mean, the recording isn't going to... I said it was... It's pretty arrogant once you consider their true output over the course of their career versus IBM's.
Correct. This is the studio that's basically They're still an independent studio, but they're basically, they only make games for Nintendo. And they only make, they basically were merged into Nintendo, but they are still technically a legal different entity.
Indentured servitude.
So some of the big names that came out of this are Satoru Iwata and Masahiro Sakurai, who you may know from Mr. Iwata was the president of Nintendo for several years until his unfortunate passing. And Mr. Sakurai, of course, is known
Smash Bros.
The Smash Brothers head, the man who is working himself to death as we speak.
Sakurai.
For a man working himself to death, he sure has drank the fountain of youth. He looks like he looks such a baby in every picture of him.
Because of the calisthenics every morning.
Yeah, I think he actually was rushed to the hospital from the gym one day, like last year or something like that. I remember that happening.
Yeesh.
So, Mr. Sakurai is the creator of the game and the character, and Mr. Iwata was the main programmer on Kirby's Dream Land. He was a secondary programmer on Kirby's Adventure. So, some other stuff, like I said, Mike, it was very much the idea to kind of port Kirby's Dream Land to the NES. But Sakurai was like, man, the Nintendo is 8 years old at this point. So he's like, not a lot of new players are coming to the game, so I'm going to change the game up a little bit. Because apparently some of the early criticisms of Dream Land was, this is a very easy game. And I think that's perfectly fine. I think that's...
easy and short.
Yes. So Kirby's Adventure got an upgrade to being, you know, a new game. They made it in basically a year. And it, of course, had the introduction of Kirby's most famous ability, the copy ability. That's where this comes from. So like I said, it also came out late in 93, and HAL Laboratories knew basically every trick the NES had to get the most out of it as far as sound goes, as far as graphic goes. There's even a pseudo 3D effect that's capable via the NES that they somehow pulled off with their backgrounds and things like that. All right, so moving forward, I guess we'll talk about the character real quick. Just one little note, then we'll get everybody's opinions and things like that. Kirby was never supposed to be the main character. He was basically a placeholder sprite until they could develop a different character. But everybody kind of grew to love the guy, so they just kind of stuck with him. The other big side note I can tell you is that Kirby's original color was
white.
Shown as white in North America. And let's see here. But of course, Sakurai was like, he's going to be pink. Miyamoto, like I said, the Nintendo genius that he's considered, said, hey, this guy should be yellow. And Sakurai had the guts to tell Miyamoto, nah, he's going to be pink. Oh, so that's cool.
But then Miyamoto ultimately got his way.
That's true.
When Smash Brothers came around.
All right, so what did you guys think of these games?
Love them. Samantha, love them. Love them. I don't even have to bore you guys with how much I love them.
They were delightful. Up until this point, I've only played Kirby's Epic Yarn,
okay,
which I loved. And, so actually I played these, and then I also played Dream World 3, which we're not even talking about.
Oh, we'll do that one as well. And two. We'll do Dream World 2 as well.
Yeah, so I had fun. It was easy for me to learn what to do. And then
okay.
Kirby's just like a fun little guy. And I like the music. Yeah, I just enjoyed it. I like Vorking, you know, sucking stuff up. Spit it out. Vorking Kirby.
Disgusting. Fantastic.
I was gonna, after Samantha said that, I was gonna say maybe that is Sakurai's greatest asset as a game developer, is taking something that is easy to start but difficult to master. Because he that's the one constant between Kirby and Smash Brothers. But then he also did that Kid Icarus game, which is not bad, but it was not easy to start. And it was, I don't know, it was a weird... He took a risk. Good for him.
He did.
But, yeah, we'll say for the majority of his career, that's a good benefit for him.
Yeah.
That's very nice, Mike. I think that works very well. All right, so Samantha, you enjoyed it too?
Yeah.
Okay. And for me, I'm going to say, yeah, I like him. But I'll admit that Kirby is kind of the weak link in Nintendo's catalog for me. It's perfectly fine. I don't have any like deep criticisms of the game. I've never really been into it. So when I was doing the research, the thing I found pretty fascinating, though, is since his initial game came out in 1992, there have only been 5 years without a Kirby game. There is a huge, huge catalog of Kirby games, and there were even years where there were like 3 games released in 1 year.
Oh, yeah.
Across the platforms for Mr. Kirby.
That's why he got an anniversary collection and Metroid did not.
Oh, that's still salt in the wound, Michael.
Oh.
Salt in the wound.
I know better than you.
So I will say, though, the one thing that I had trouble with, though, was I was not really aware that Kirby's Dream Land came out first. I thought it was the typical way of doing things, that Kirby's Adventure came out first and Kirby's Dream Land was something they made for the Game Boy later. So when I was playing Dream Land, I was like, why can't I copy anything? This is really weird. You know, because further down the road, all the games move forward with the copy ability and keep it. So I was like, oh, but I was like, this is still a fun little game. And said, the music is absolutely outstanding in these games and, you know, perfectly enjoyable.
Well, and the level of challenge changes when you take those abilities away. That's something that they teach you at the very end of Kirby's Adventure. Like, that last level is basically a summary of the 4 levels that you have throughout Dreamland, and they don't give you any abilities until the very end of the level, right before you go through the goal. And then there's no ability you could bring. Well, maybe there is, and I don't know about it. But I don't think that you can use any absorbed abilities against King DDD, and it hurts him. You have to suck in the stars and hit him with them.
I think that's right. So, Mike, just a real quick question for you. Do you know how many abilities you can copy in Kirby's Adventure?
That you can?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Total.
Like, maybe 15, 20?
Higher.
30?
84?
No, not that many.
not 84. So, apparently it's 25, but they actually trimmed it down from 40. So they had 40 abilities, and you got to keep 25 of them. That's crazy.
Well, and then some of them, like the UFO, you only get to keep till the end of the level because they're so overpowered.
Yeah.
UFO is my favorite ability, though. Oh, no, you got it.
Go ahead, Smith.
This is slightly off topic, though. That's why. If you have to say something, say it now.
Well, I was just going to say, and you also have the temporary abilities, like the mic, where you get the 3 blasts or the crash you can only use once, that kind of stuff. But yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. So do you think there's more Kirby merch or Mario merch? Because I feel like it's Kirby.
No, there's more Mario for sure.
Because there's a ton. I've seen there's a lot of Kirby stuff. It's all because he's cute, so it's easy.
I'll say this. I think there's probably maybe at nearly as much, I'd say. And I would also say it's, you know, Mario gets changes to his design, or sometimes they'll make stuff that's to look like the old 8-bit Mario and stuff like that. Kirby always looks like Kirby. They haven't changed jack on him since 1992. Why fix something that's not broke?
Well, and he has that cool Gremlins vibe. Like, to have so to design something so cute that also, if you look at it in a different angle, can be super grotesque. He just swallows people and copies their abilities. Yeah. That's borderline demonic. But he looks so adorable when he does it.
Angry Kirby. He looks so angry when he's all full of hair stomping around.
I think my biggest surprise about the Kirby franchise was whenever Melee came out and they introduced the spicy curry. Uh-huh. And I realized that was that ability that you got in the very first, like, Kirby's Dream Land. You just don't spit the stuff out. But, like, his invincibilities, that's what they intended was... he ate spicy curry. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to see what that, like, little sprites look like, though.
So, I actually had this notes too. Of whether do you think Mario or Kirby is the better mascot for Nintendo?
I think Mario. I love Kirby, but.
Like,
I almost go ahead.
If I had to pick on my taste, I would pick Kirby, but Mario's probably better.
I was gonna say, out of all of the, well, I'll call them the original, what was it, 8 characters in Super Smash Brothers, it's hands down, I think Mario does have more games, but Kirby is solidly in second place over any of the others. Wouldn't you say? Like, even the Pokemon games, I think there are more Kirby games than there are Pokemon games. Or
maybe not now.
Maybe not now, but definitely, like, at the time, because Kirby had, like, a good decade of, like, 2 or 3 games a year coming
out. Well, and I think because of the gameplay and his character design, he just lended himself more easily to branching genres. Like, I remember being obsessed with Kirby's Pinball. And talk about a perfect... I bought Mario Pinball, too, and didn't hold a candle to Kirby's Pinball.
What about Metroid's... Was it Metroid
Spinball? Oh, no. Metroid Prime Pinball was the best
The
best Nintendo pinball game ever made. Well, oh, God. Pokemon Pinball was so good, too, though.
So, I got a question for you, Mike. This is kind of to drive home my, is Kirby the better mascot game? Who has the better golf game?
Because,
you know... I think
Mario does, but it's only on the handhelds. The Mario Golf Kirby's on the Dream? Game Boy Color and the Game Boy Advance are better than Kirby's Dream Course. Yes. Absolutely they are.
Oh, but are they better individually, or is it better because there's two of them?
No, either one of those is far superior to Kirby's Dream Course.
Ooh, now those are fighting words. Well, because I love Kirby's Dream Course.
I love it too. It's
fantastic.
But you also haven't played Mario Golf for the Game Boy Color or the Game Boy Advance, have you, Josh?
I have. Have not. You? No, it's true.
Have you?
And the law has spoken.
I've only played everybody's golf.
never even heard of that.
It's on the PlayStation. It's quite fun. You make your own guy. Skid made this guy named Brad. It's real ugly.
See? You can do that on Mario Golf. Make your own character. You get to level up. It's like an RPG.
I don't have a way to play that. It's a game.
Well, we'll see if we can help you out with that at some point. So, Mike, I got to know, since you're the Kirby guy here, did you ever play Kirby Nightmare in Dreamland?
The one on the Wii?
That sounds dope.
No. This is Game Boy Advanced.
Oh, yeah. It was just a, it was like a very pretty reskin of, Kirby Advance. Or, I mean, Kirby's Adventure.
Kirby.
So, yeah. I have a beef with that game, though, because they made so few copies of that game whenever it first came out. Okay. It came out in, like...
2002.
All right, yeah, 2002. like, a couple of months before Christmas time, and I went everywhere looking for that game, and I couldn't find it for over a year. And I never got to play the game until well after. And it was still worth it, but I think I was a little jaded that why didn't they make it? Why it should have been a perfect seller.
That's like Radiant Historia. It took me forever to track down a copy of that.
I mean, I was no joke calling Toys R Us, Target, Walmart. In high school, I was still calling these stores trying to track down a fucking copy.
I remember calling Toys R Us every day when Furbies came out, asking if they had them. That's like nine.
Please, yeah, that's when it's acceptable for somebody to be calling. But somebody who's already in high school and shouldn't be calling about a Kirby game, like, I was already in my head, like, excuse me? Do you have Kirby Nightmare?
It's for my son.
It's for my little brother, yeah.
I use that.
While my voice is squeaking.
Yeah.
Excuse me. No, it's for the Game Boy.
That's one of the reasons you go digital now, kids.
Well, you never... couldn't.
Yeah, you couldn't.
That was the only option.
True.
I remember going to Walmart to buy the Kim Possible soundtrack, and when the cashier was checking me out, he looked at the CD, and then he looked at me like, really? And then I said, it's for my brother. And then my brother came up, and he's like, that brother? I was like, no, my other one. I was only like 13, though, so...
Yeah, I mean...
And now people wouldn't even blink an eye.
Yeah, that was really rude of that guy. I'll never forget that.
I think even though we're all, like, a couple of years apart, we still, like, our overall umbrella generation that we were under, we had to live through the most bullying of... stuff that is now widely considered popular culture when it was back then.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I would say the most bullying because of, like, you know, people like comic books and stuff like that back in the 60s and
70s.
Yeah,
like, yeah, I guess that's right.
But I will say this. We were certainly the
last the video generation. Game world, let's say.
Yes. Okay, yeah, I can say that. We're definitely, like, the last generation that will ever experience that.
Oh, man, and
by far, like, you know, now people our age have kids, and, you know, so it's totally cool for them to,
we lived with a lifetime of guilt of parents being like, you're wasting your life doing that.
Yep. Or the condescending, oh, they'll grow out of it. Yeah,
I was so, I still am, you know, obsessed with cartoons, and, like, not being able to tell anyone at school about the things that I love, and just having, like, my favorite show's TRL, or, like, I would try to be sneaky about talking to, like, oh my god, my brother was watching Gargoyles, like, all weekend.
Well, and what we've ultimately discovered now that we're adults is all these people that we grew up with that were so outward about, like, watching TRL and all that stuff. They were secretly enjoying the same things we were. They just were that much more afraid.
Yeah.
Like I say, or I've also taken the hindsight of when you step back and realize, like, people, let's just take the classic example of people that are way, way into sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact same thing that we have going.
Yeah, I know.
It's just literally just the focus is different. Like, you know, you might remember which episode, or like which episode so-and-so character, or you might remember that in 1992 Kirby's came out, whereas they will remember, like, in 1992 who won the Super Bowl and who had so many rushing yards, or who led the league and stuff like that. It's like, just take the step back and realize this is all just human fascination with a subject.
Yeah.
It's just maybe one subject is seen as being more acceptable
mature.
To the whole. Yeah.
You're mature if you're a diehard sports fan and have, like, all this sports shit on your walls or whatever. Or if you're obsessed with, like, a boy band or something, that's expected of you as a teenage girl. But, like, that's crazy. It's weird. It's all just obsessing over something and spending all your money on posters.
Or
cards. Or
Kirby action figures.
Yeah, or bobbleheads of shit. Come on, man. It's the same shit. Stop it.
It's all the same stuff. It's all the same
There's
stuff.
Just so much more money, I guess. Sports is like a prestigious thing. Because you, like, you see those the athletes or whatever, they're making bank. They're like, I don't know. It's dumb.
Which is kind of funny, and maybe that's why I think there's been such a sea change happening as of late, is if you think about it, the competitive sports world, even for people that can play it, can only play it for so long. The video game community is such a more welcoming community for so much longer. Like, Josh and I talked about the other day that the idea of playing games online stresses us out more than we would just rather play a game single player. Like, we're just at that age where it's not fun anymore to jump on to Grand Theft Auto or something like that and immediately get beaten up. But we can still enjoy other games.
Yeah.
And in our own time. But it's not like you have 60-year-old people that are going playing tackle football.
That's true.
They shouldn't be anyway.
I mean, they could play flag football if they wanted to, I guess. Of course, there'd probably be, like, actually, I know for a fact that there are, like, leagues for guys in their 40s and 50s to play.
But you know, like, what I mean. As a whole.
Yeah, yeah.
Seems like a very, it's so much easier to be connected as a community versus.
Yeah. I also want to mention, like, what Mike just brought up. We kind of, you know, we were that generation that were kind of bullied and, like, frowned upon our hobbies and stuff like that. And I guess, as the oldest here, I definitely have to put myself in check sometimes because, like, take, for example, what Mike was talking about, the online games. I know there are certain people that literally the concept of not playing a game online with friends is almost foreign to them. And, like, so I have to put myself and be like, hey, that's just how their games are played this day. And I can't be the old man shaking my fist when there were old men shaking their fist at me for the stuff I loved back in the day.
End up making it much easier for them as they get older to keep friendships.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's something that everybody inevitably faces. The older that I've gotten, the more I've realized, like, you don't have as much time for all of your friends. And so you have to, it's like your spectrum of people, it starts getting more and more narrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have to start making concessions for people. And it sucks because you don't want to, but you end up having to. And I think that, I mean, if that's something that's most natural to you, then it It'll probably be a lot easier for them.
That's why I'm so thankful for Pathfinder, because we still gotta play. Well, we have to play online now, but meet up once a week, play Pathfinder. Yeah. And those campaigns last for years.
So I got just a quick question kind of just popped in my head that I'd like to get your guys' opinion on. Like, when online games started, I would see if you kind of, like, agree with my opinion here or not. Do you think the focus was more competitive against each other at first, and now, like, modern games, a lot of it is more cooperative, and maybe that's why there's a... I don't want to call it a divide, but
I think it went back and forth. I think at the dawn of online games, hell yeah, it was strictly competitive. I can't think of a single cooperative game that was an online kind of game, because it was always like Doom and what was that? What did they call that battle?
Quake. You had Quake as well. And then, like, I guess
Counter-Strike and all those.
Counter-Strike, yeah.
But they were all... you had co-op, but it was still, like, a very...
Yeah. It was still team versus team. Yeah.
I didn't recognize until, like, the MMOs that it started being a community versus a specific thing, which is something that I never ever did. I never played any of those games.
I'm right there with you. Like, that was where my mindset was. Like, I understand the competitive option more than I ever would the cooperative option. Like, it just seems foreign to me, I guess we'll say.
Monster Hunter also, even the first one, had online play. And that one, you just form a team and you go in to kill a monster together. Yeah, that's why I like Final Fantasy XIV, as I was saying earlier. Especially the latest thing, Shadowbringers, you can run the dungeons, the main scenario quest dungeons, with NPCs. So you can play the whole story pretty much alone. There's like two fights where you have to use Duty Finder and get with a party of people. And I like that. I played it largely as single player for most of my career in that game, since like 2013. And... it's weird because the social aspect of it is, I think, unlike any other game. It's super deep. It's crazy. Now I just like the housing.
So you know what else? You know what else is super deep? If you really get into it and really look into it,
Kirby's is mouth.
Dream Course.
I was gonna say, well, Dream Course, yes. There's thousands of variations. But I was actually going to say the underlying lore of the Kirby universe through all these games is, like, it gets deep. It gets crazy. Like, basically, if you boil it down, Kirby's a god killer.
Yeah, what? Just vores him.
Yes. Oh, God. You didn't have to take it that far. That
sounds like a fan speculation kind of thing.
No, I think it's... in the later games for sure, but yeah, you're taking down like massive like empires.
Well, yeah, they're
stuff.
Making
That's
the bosses
crazy. Yeah,
grim.
I'm gonna have to cut every part of that out. Thanks.
Alright, well, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the music. Uh-huh. Now that we're back on the topic of Kirby, my God, that's got to be a Funsphere record of a tangent that...
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering how long it was going to go. I was like, I'm totally fine with it. It's good conversation.
We've had some others where it's like we talk about in an hour-long episode the game for 10 minutes and then
the Cedars,
everything else for...
The Cedars one. We forgot
about that one. Completely. That one, it was deserved. It was very much deserved. But we can't taint the Kirby name by not talking about how great it is on so many levels.
Yes,
the music is so great.
It's very whimsical and nice.
But all of the melodies, they're so, oh man, they're so perfect. It's up there with Castlevania and Zelda, where throughout the games you keep hearing so many original melodies that keep popping up, and it's because they're too great to go forgotten.
Yeah.
Like, they keep getting rearranged in new and fun ways, and that makes it great for the next soundtrack, and they might add a new song or two, but I can't think of a song that was in Kirby's Adventure that hasn't shown up in another Kirby game since.
No, not at all. And that's just kind of one of the, when you are a long running franchise like this, or some of those other games you mentioned, that's almost expected at this point. And if I think anyone ever tried, I think you could try so many different things mechanically and graphically with a game. As long as you keep a good portion of the music, I think you'll be okay. I think that, strange as that sounds, that, I mean, you can do a different rendition of the song or something like that, but as long as the core concept of the music is there, yeah, that's always going to work for games.
Le motif.
Even if you... there you go.
Yeah.
Anybody else got anything to say about Kirby before we go off on some other 35-minute tangent involving modern games, online ecosystems, and just discussions of the world in general and culture in general?
I mean, if you're listening to this and you're a doubter on the Kirby front, just know Kirby has fucking done it all. And I mean, he has done it all. Even 4-player co-op.
That's true.
Metroidvania? True. Oh, wait, yeah. That's the same exact game. He's done racing games. He's done pinball games. He's done Tetris, Yoshi's Cookie kind of.
Yes.
Yes. Mixed
He's
games.
Been yarn.
He has been yarn. He's been a doodle, which my favorite Kirby soundtrack of all time, Kirby Canvas Curse. Hope we can make our way there one day. It'll be hard for us to play because it's on the DS.
I still have True. My DS, but how would we get it?
I don't know. Nintendo would have to decide to sell it to us, and they don't much care for doing that.
Bitches.
No. All right, well, I think we'll call it a wraps on this episode, and we'll see you next time on Funsphere Game Club. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. we really could have done without the slorp. Oh my god.